This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:36 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazlana Mukhtar with Mark Tan and Wong Xiaoning. In half an hour, we have the opening bell, where, as always, we check out how Bursa Malaysia begins the trading day. But before that, we're looking at the recent raids by the Home Ministry on Swatch stores throughout Malaysia. On Monday, authorities from the Home Ministry raided the Malaysian stores of Swiss watchmaker Swatch and confiscated watches from its Pride collection bearing the rainbow flag design, which were described as containing LGBTQ elements.
The confiscated products allegedly contravened the Printing Presses and Publications Act, or commonly known as the PPPA. The Act allows authorities to intervene on material that's deemed a threat to national peace and security. The PPPA has previously been widely criticized as granting the government wide control over press and media activities, thus curbing press freedom. Why has it been applied to retail products such as watches has raised the question.
Swatch Group CEO Nick Hyatt has denied that the watches could be harmful to anyone and that the Swatch brand has always been known for their bright and colourful designs. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim yesterday deflected questions to the Home Ministry as he did not have enough information, he claimed, about the case to comment. He said the confiscation was because the watches had LGBT symbols, not because of the colours. Meanwhile, the Home Ministry has not released a statement on this matter to date.
So what are the legal issues surrounding this case? And what does it say about the flaws in how the PPPA is being implemented? To unpack this, we have on the line with us constitutional and human rights lawyer Niu Sin Yu. Sin Yu, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. So it seems rather odd that a Press and Publications Act has been used on a watch product. Maybe you can walk us through the rationale for using the PPPA to enforce a seizure and ban on this product.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I agree that it seems odd, but the law can be quite strange. I should probably start by saying that I'm not privy to the decision-making process of the Home Ministry. So I, like any other member of the public, do not know if there has been any decision to ban the Swatch Pride collection watches. The Home Ministry certainly has not done anything to clarify this situation. But what I do know is that there has not been any order, if any, by the Home Minister declaring that the Swatch Pride collection watches as prohibited publication that has been gazetted. Now, that is very important because before the Home Ministry can conduct a raid to seize the watches, they must first fulfill a number of legal requirements. First, there must be an order made by the Home Minister declaring that the publication, or in this case, the watches as prohibited, and this must be first published in the Gazette. Second, a search warrant must also be obtained from the Magistrate Court to empower the officers of the Home Ministry to enter and search any premises where the prohibited publication, or in this case, watches, is found. So we know that there is no such gazette. So this part of the process was not done, and the officers of the Home Ministry were acting unlawfully when they entered, searched, and seized the watches.
Senior, can I ask, why are watches considered a prohibited publication?
Well, it's because of how publication is defined under the PPPA. Now, under Section 2 of the PPPA, publication is very widely defined. And it includes, and I'm quoting the words of this Section 2, which defines publication. It includes all written or printed matter and everything, whether of a nature familiar to written or printed matter or not, containing any visible representation. It also includes anything which by its form, shape, or in any manner is capable of suggesting both words and ideas. So that's virtually everything under the sun. So even though the Act is called the Printing Presses and Publication Act, It really covers more than just newspapers and books, anything written or printed or more. So if you take a banned photo, a prohibited photo or publication, and you say slap it on an aeroplane, the aeroplane can be seized. And because its application is so wide, it gives the government this tremendous power to censor anything, any thoughts or any ideas or any messages that they consider prejudicial or is likely to be prejudicial to public order, morality, security, public or national interests.
Now, Sin,
go on.
So, Sinyu, is the PPA the right law to use in this case? And if not, what other acts do we have that you think is more appropriate in this particular situation? Or do we even have the right law for such a situation?
Well, there's no right law to justify an unlawful, arbitrary, and unconstitutional action. But anyway, like I said earlier, the definition of publication is so wide, it would seem to cover what has been printed on the watches, whatever that may be. So to answer your question, it's probably the right law for this situation.
But then this begs the question that it seems like the law is just very ambiguous, right, when it comes to what you can apply it to. And now we're being, for the layman, it seems it's being used on a matter unrelated to press and publications. Should we actually reform this law or at least narrow down the definition?
Well, interesting that you asked that, because the PPPA, it was abused before. In 2015, the Home Minister made an order that per se for yellow t-shirt was a prohibited publication on grounds that it was likely to be prejudicial to public order or likely to be prejudicial to national security. And that case was unique because the Home Minister not only made an order that any publication containing the words per se four was prohibited, he also stated that the color yellow is included in his order. So the Court of Appeal ultimately declared the Home Minister's order as irrational. So I suppose the present Home Minister should bear in mind this important legal precedent, and that if he were to make any order on such private collection, it would be challenged on the basis that it was irrational. And to add, it would also be unconstitutional. So answering your question, yes, it certainly needs to be amended and reformed to make the power that is accorded to the minister much more narrower. And the definition also needs to be changed, because as in its current form, it covers virtually everything under the sun. And I do not think that that was the intention of the Printing Presses and Publication Act when it was first enacted in 1984. There was actually an earlier act before that. It's a 1948 act. And I do not think that it was meant for that either.
Okay. At the same time, I do note that the Federal Constitution Article 10(1)(a) guarantees freedom of expression to all Malaysians. But also Article 10(2)(a) allows for the laws to be made to restrict freedom of expression only on specific grounds, such as public order and morality. Who defines this public order and morality, though?
Well, that's a very good question.
Mm.
It is not defined anywhere. And I think, like any other constitutional provision, it really isn't for anyone to say what exactly public order is. And I think the best that we can do is to lay tests to help us ascertain whether or not a particular action of the government is, or a particular law is indeed designed to deal with public order. So the courts have the constitutional duty to interpret what public order is. And the courts have laid down tests as to whether or not in any particular situation, a particular government action can be declared, or a particular law can be declared as unconstitutional if it doesn't fall within the confines of Article 10 2A. And certain tests have been made. The American, the Malaysian approach is that it needs to first, whatever government action or whatever law, it first needs to be very narrowly defined. And second, it needs to be a restriction. That means you can only restrict, can't absolutely and totally prohibit any particular expression. The American, that's the common law approach. The American courts have defined, have laid down tests such as the clear and present danger test, where the government or that there needs to be clear and present danger before a particular law can be said to be unconstitutional, a particular government action can be said to be violative of freedom of expression. So objective evidence needs to be there. And this cannot be something that is entirely subjective to the minister. It cannot be imaginary.
Okay,
they need to show and need to prove.
So, Sinyu, this begs the question, returning to Swatch, I mean, what are the legal avenues for them to appeal and challenge this case? I mean, what can they do, and do you think they will be successful?
Well, they certainly would have to sue the Home Ministry, and they can do it in a number of ways. They can either go by way of a judicial review to declare and quash the actions of the Home Ministry as being illegal and claim damages, or they could perhaps file a civil claim against the Home Ministry and the officers for misfeasance in public office. I think they have a good case, considering that there is no gazette at the time of the raid.
Sinyu, thank you very much for speaking with us. That was Niu Sinyu, constitutional and human rights lawyer, helping us understand the legal issues surrounding the seizure of Swatch watches this week, what this means, how the PPPA is involved in this, and whether it really puts into the spotlight the need to reform this rather controversial and very broad law. It is 8:49 in the morning. We're going to head into some messages, but when we come back, we'll be looking at results from corporate Malaysia this earnings season, looking specifically at the utility sector. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.